Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Eric Johansson, a teacher with LSAT Demon. With me is Cole. Cole, thanks for coming on and introduce yourself. Let the listeners know what it is you do with the Demon.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. So currently I'm involved with the Demon as an Ask Button writer, and I'm also involved in a few other marketing capacities as well. But most of my time with the Demon is spent online just answering help tickets for students.
Nice. And you did your own study with the Demon too, right?
Yes, I did my study with the Demon.
You are currently waiting on acceptance offers and scholarship offers in your own application cycle, that's right?
Yes, we're nearing the finish line. There's most of the cards are on the table. I'm just waiting on a few other applications and scholarships to get back to me. But I've got a pretty good idea of the way things are going right now. But I'm definitely looking forward to the next step of the cycle.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure we'll have you back on when some of that settles and you can share your full success story of where you end up. But in the meantime, we got a question that a lot of people send in that I hear a lot from students as well. And that is simply, what should my goal score be? A lot of people setting out who don't really know much about the LSAT or about law school admissions generally have an idea of what a good score might be, but it's unclear what their potential is, what it is they should be aiming for, when to say, oh, if I get this score, that would be good enough for me and I could walk away. Do you have experience with that? Did you have a goal score in mind when you started your own study? And did that hold? Did you walk away once you hit your goal score?
I can definitely relate to the question because from top to bottom, the admissions process has been very foreign to me because I don't have anybody that I know personally that's ever been to law school. But specifically the goal score thing, I definitely had no idea when I took my very first diagnostic test. Like it popped up and it said 152. And I was like, okay. Like it was like I'd spun a slot machine. Like I had no idea what 152 meant. So then I did my research. I was out of 180. So I was like, okay, I still don't know, you know, where that falls or what my goal score should be. So throughout my study, what I did is I actually did set goal scores, like multiple of them. I kind of have a better idea of how I think I would approach it now, but as I'll say, I started with the 152 and I was like, okay, if I could just get to 160, I would be happy. And then when I got to 160, I was like, I'm still like chipping away at this. I think I'm still learning. So I was like, okay, if I can just get to 165, well, I got to 165. And next thing I knew it, I was PTing in the 170s. And I was like, oh, well, I'm glad I didn't like just throw my hands up and say I'm done when I got to 160. Right. So just kind of kept chipping away at it in that way. And I do think that, you know, that's a good way to approach it instead of from the very start. If I get to a number, I'm going to throw my hands up and say I'm done, because you never know how much, you know, improvement you could have on the test, because it is learnable in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think my experience is somewhat similar. I also don't have lawyers in the family, didn't really have lawyers I was close to before starting this process. So I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. I did manage to find somehow the 509 report or I don't know if it was the 509 report, but somewhere was published the median LSAT score for my local school that I was interested in. I said, hey, you know, this would make sense for me to go to this local law school. And I said, if I could just get that median score, I should have a good chance of getting in. And knowing nothing else, I sat down and took a diagnostic, and my diagnostic score was like 2 or 3 points below that median. And I intrinsically felt after that first exposure to the LSAT, you know what? I could get better at this. I could definitely score better at this. So maybe I should adjust up what my goal is. I don't think just shooting for this median score is appropriate, because I feel I can do better. And that's probably where a lot of people are, whether or not they realize it, don't you think?
For sure. I think people find themselves in that gray area because, you know, everyone thinks about, okay, well, I had a good undergrad GPA, or I had a good this, or I had a good diagnostic. And it's like, a lot of those things don't necessarily relate to your potential on the test. And I think that's why there's, you know, so many questions rolling in about the topic, is because we've seen 40 point improvements at this point on the Demon, you know, 30, many 30 point improvements. So I think people have the question of, you know, is that me or should I settle for 10, 15? You know what I mean? So I think that's where a lot of people's questions come from. And it's a very valid question for sure.
Do you think there's anything to setting goal scores or having a goal score in mind based on a school or a couple schools that you're interested in?
I do see that, you know, as someone is about to, you know, go on the adventure of law school admissions and eventually law school, and of course getting into being an attorney, I think that for sure, you know, you've got schools you want to go to, you've got certain job outcomes you may be really attached to. Like if you're somebody who's like, well, I really want to go into big law. Well, if your score is only going to get you into schools, you know, that have a 1% shot at big law, well, you know, you should probably keep studying the LSAT and try to get hired and get into a school that will allow you to realize whatever outcomes it is you're shooting for. So I think 100% there are those circumstances that, you know, people can consider, depending on, you know, if they're geographically attached, you know, if they have family, they've got to stay. There's lots of things that people can take into account.
And how would you go about researching different law schools and what scores you would need in order to get a good scholarship to a school you're interested in?
Yeah, when I first started out, I was a Demon student, and I was also listening to both the daily podcast and the weekly one with Ben and Nate, and they kept mentioning the scholarship estimator. So I went to lsatdemon.com/scholarships. I punched in, you know, at the time what, you know, my GPA and LSAT were, and I quickly found out, wow, I'm not A, going to get into the school I want to go to, and B, definitely not going to get money from them if I don't get in. So that's where I started. And then ABA, you know, publishes all of their 509 reports every year of the school's admission stats, which is where the Demon gets their scholarship numbers from. So those are two good resources for LSAT students to kind of dip their toes into the realm of, you know, what schools am I going to get in at? And if I do, what types of scholarships can I expect?
Absolutely. And I will say this, I think that having some sort of idea of what score is going to get you a good scholarship to the schools you're interested in, having that in mind is a good starting point, but does not have to be where you end up. I imagine that as you studied and as you saw your own LSAT practice scores go up, you maybe shifted your expectations away from, well, these were the schools I was interested in, this is a score that would be good for those schools, and saw that shift to more of, I'm scoring really well and I could score even better. Let me just take that as high as it can go and see what schools open up to me as a result.
1,000,000%. And I'll preface this point with a little bit of how my journey went. So in December of 2022, I started prepping for the LSAT, and I thought, man, a month or two, I'll take this test, I'll be done with it, and then I'll be off to law school in the fall of 23. I thought I was going to rush into that cycle. That's how naive I was at the time. And I ended up raising, so my diagnostic was 152. I got to a 161 there in that 2 months. And I was like, okay, this is it. I'm submitting my apps. And I had the schools, you know, I had looked at their medians of the schools I thought I could get into. And I got into some of those schools, and I did get scholarships to some of those schools, but I was improving rapidly at the LSAT, and I was getting better and better and better. And as time went on, I was like, I think I'm just going to delay this thing a cycle and apply early with a hopefully much higher score. And as you just said, as I kept raising that score up to 165, 170, 175, all the way to 176, these schools that I was, or that were reaches for me, that I was, man, if I could just get into them, no scholarship, I would be happy. Those are now the schools giving me 100% scholarship, right? So that's where my advice of saying, well, what should my goal score be? My answer is as high as you think you can get to. And I think we talked about this a little bit earlier, you know, getting to, I think having a goal floor is good, like having an idea of a score you want to get to at least, but I don't think that anybody can predict their potential going into the test. And I don't think you should ever give up if you're still getting better at the test.
And you might be surprised how long you still feel like you are continuing to improve. I mean, I've been now teaching the LSAT for several years, and I still feel like I'm improving at this test. So it is something you can keep on improving at for years and years. I wonder this, Cole, do you think that there's a point at which anyone is limited by their personal ability? Like, okay, I have no goal score that is tied to my career expectations or my goal schools. Is there still a point at which I'm gonna hit a ceiling just based on this is the best I can get personally at the LSAT? Does that exist for anybody?
If it does, I think that it would take a long time to determine that you were at that point. You know, I don't think that you can spend 3 years at one score, or sorry, 3 years, 3 months at one score and say, this is it. This is my potential. I've hit a plateau. I'm done. Because there were times where I just could not get out of the one, like I wanted to break one PT in the 170s, like one time I was just begging for it and I could not do it. And I was high 160s. And I had that exact thought. I thought, well, this is my potential. I need to just come to grips with the fact that I'm going to be applying with a sub 170 score. And when you know, a couple months later, I was consistently scoring into the mid 170s. So I do think that that point probably exists to an extent, but I think if you haven't exhausted yourself in pursuit of your maximum potential, you can't really answer that question.
Yeah, for sure. And many people probably do so after what they think is an extremely long plateau period of, oh man, I've been in the mid 160s for like 3 weeks now. Like, okay, well, we have people who have studied for years
and still continue to improve slowly, maybe, but they continue to improve. So like I said, I think if it does exist, it would take a very long time to finally realize, okay, this is probably it. I've been studying for 5 years, which no one I think has got to that point. But my point is, I think that people give up a little too easily. Sometimes they like, okay, this is a plateau. This is my best score. And I 1,000 times could have thought that, because you know, your PT scores don't go up. It does get discouraging. You know, you get tired of spending all the hours studying, and you know, it's really easy to just say I'm done and this is as high as I can get, when in reality it may not be.
Totally. So to sum up, maybe have some kind of LSAT floor based on what it's going to take you to get a great scholarship to the schools you want to go to, but don't let that be your ceiling. Be open to the possibility that you have tremendous upside in how you score.
100%. Yes.
All right. Well, thanks y'all for sending in your questions. Email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.